Moewenu, dinsanke bicole qui calenenu, dingem an fosse qui dile qua cudibantu bonso pari cunoco. Good morning, I'm very happy to be with you. I say thank you for all those who are here and who invited me. Particularly want to thank Pastor Lou and Ms. Carol Kintz for their invitation to be with you this morning. And special thanks also to Mary Spear for reading the scripture. That was marvelous to put the story together. It's a privilege to be here with you. Thank you. The New Testament lesson, the two lectionary readings are together. New Testament lesson comes from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray, please. Dear Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of Naomi and Ruth delights us with the picture of two women from different nations and different generations and different faiths who somehow bridge those differences to build a family of shared faith and companionship through hard times and then happy times. The first part of the reading shows Naomi's care for her daughter in love. I like that phrase. The second part sees this family blessed with a healthy baby boy. Remember, neither of Naomi's sons had had children. Both Naomi and Ruth had been childless widows, a kind of a curse situation. So this was a particular joy. Ruth was a stranger in a foreign land. Not a good position. But without Ruth, Naomi would have been a desolate old woman left on the margins of charity. Now, thanks to Naomi's wisdom, Ruth's grace, and Boaz's generosity, all of them have seen the way that God has opened doors to gladness and safety. The birth of the child spreads this happiness further into the community. It is unusual in the Old Testament for those outside the family to name a newborn boy. But here, the neighborhood women gather around to give this baby his name, Obed, which is a shortened form of Obadiah, servant of the Lord. Scholars note that this is the only place in the Old Testament where a child is said to be born to a woman. Obed is born to Naomi. Notice it's not his biological mother, it's his grandmother. Through this whole story, we see the threads of women's love and care for each other and for the community. The threads are interwoven with the lives of men, Naomi's husband and sons, who bring Ruth into this family and faith, Boaz and his generosity, which bring the family to life. But the central figures are the women, who do not let each other give up, who support and plan and work and celebrate with each other in the little spheres of their daily lives, and yet somehow bring a larger community into being and well-being. The story of the widow's mite is very well known, and it's much less comfortable for us to hear. Before reflecting on that discomfort, we should set this striking figure in context. The first part of our reading points to the greed and hypocrisy of the religious leaders, who make a public display of their practice to hide their unscrupulous abuse of the vulnerable, like this poor widow. The widow herself is offering her gift to the temple, not to the needy, as we often think of it. The focus of the story is the contrast between the false religious masks of the leaders and the frightening dedication of the poor woman who presents her entire livelihood to God. One thing Jesus is teaching his disciples is how gifts are valued. It is the character and heart behind the offering which weighs more than the amount. It might also be noted that this poor widow presents us with an image of startling, not to say terrifying, courage. Widows are among the most vulnerable of the poor in almost every society. And it's no wonder that the Bible regularly links together widows, orphans, and strangers as those who test the generosity of God's people. Naomi's and Ruth's stories end happily, but we do not know anything more about this poor woman who brought her whole income to the temple. What we do see is a challenge. If you are like me, it's very hard to read this passage without feeling guilty. What a paltry bit of my livelihood ends up in God's hands. But being paralyzed by guilt is counterproductive, and I'm fairly sure that Jesus did not intend to paralyze us into turning our eyes away in shame. So I would like to propose that this poor widow calls us to open the ears of our hearts to her sisters and others, widows, orphans, and strangers who fill our world. We no longer need to buy the expensive sacrifices for the temple, and so much of what we dedicate to God can be used for God's children. We learn from Jesus' criticism of the religious leaders that outward worship is measured by acting for justice. What we practice in the church is not a cover for abusing the poor, but a dedication of ourselves and what we have to God's glory in God's world. We learn from Jesus' words about the poor widow that our gifts are measured by our hearts and not by our purses. We can be freed by God's grace to want to share generously from what God has given to us, not out of guilt, but out of gladness that we have the means and the opportunities to be God's hands outreached to those in hard places. The lectionary texts for today seemed providential for guiding the direction of my thoughts on the ways we share faith with Christians in Congo. Just a few weeks ago, you had the privilege of welcoming Dr. Malumba from Congo, as we did at the seminary. So you have heard and seen something about the larger church world in Congo. Reading the stories of Naomi and Ruth and the neighborhood women of the poor widow invited me to tell you something about the women of God's churches in Congo. Women like Naomi and Ruth and the community around them, women like the poor widow, are found everywhere in Congo. They are the majority in the pews of the churches, and they are the mainstay of the churches, and they are the mothers and teachers of the next generation. Women in Congo are also subordinated to the men, both by traditional culture and by long-time church practice. And those who take an independent stand in their work for other women and children and the needy will sometimes be seen as a challenge to male authority and may suffer for it. Yet they have the most incredible resilience. They do not give up. It's amazing to me. Let me tell you just a few stories. In the village church of Kanyuka, the congregation which my father's best friend, Pastor Kabeya, served before his retirement, there are many poor widows. Their families should care for them, but if they do not have children, or if their children have left to go to the big city, there is no one to help them when they become too weak to dig their fields and cultivate their own food, or repair their mud and thatch houses. There are women who have no home but a hollow space in the ground. And one poor widow died of snake bite in her bed because she had no other shelter. One project we have helped the congregation do is build small cement block houses. Really, it's a row of three rooms in one building, so that three widows of the church may have a secure home. A second building is being planned for three more widows. This is to give you an idea of the kind of terrible poverty, even when there is no external threat, and violence is fairly widespread anyway. The other story is about a group of women who have organized together to serve girls and women and children. The founders of this nonprofit, they've named it Woman Cradle of Abundance. The French acronym, Femme Berceau de l'Abondance, is FIBA. There were six Christian women leaders from different denominations. They had been involved together in the World Council of Churches decade of churches in solidarity with women. They wanted to address key problems of violence against women and female poverty, though they're obviously concerned about violence and poverty in all the other dimensions of society, children, men. They gather any women who would like to join them for fellowship and education and practical ways of addressing problems. Once a month, they have a meeting for worship and inspiration, singing, praying, concluding with an offering of their least coin. Like the poor widow, their work is related to the International Fellowship of the Least Coin. In addition, they have many practical activities, including supporting people living with HIV/AIDS, helping women learn better agricultural practices, organizing a small microcredit project, a flour mill to serve the community and earn money, support for education for street children, a sewing school to teach young girls a trade by which they can earn a living for themselves and their families. Along with this, they also take in abused or violated girls and women, children, who have been cast out, who have been accused of sorcery, Sometimes if children have an inheritance, relatives may accuse them of sorcery and killing their parents so that they can take the inheritance and the kids are thrown out. They try to provide counseling and medical help for these poor women. One of the street children they took in was a young child with AIDS, another one with TB, giving them the medicine they need. The women of Pheba rejoice with those who have reason to rejoice, but mostly they reach out from their own poverty and very difficult circumstances to help those who are even less privileged. The visionary leader of Pheba is Mama Monique Misenga Mukuna, a Presbyterian widow and an amazing person. She is the one who's insisted on taking in any kind of person, from a prostitute to a child with TB to a runaway child bride who had been abused and starved to a woman living with AIDS their husband gave her. Many stories. And after her ability and her independence angered the male church leaders, I'm very sorry to say, who dismissed Mama Monique from her church position in the Department of Women and Families, she continued the work in her own home. Besides the child with TB, the widow living with HIV/AIDS, four or five other children and girls who didn't have any other place to go that she took into her home. She has also provided a space for the sewing school in her home. She now has 54 girls. Obviously, they can only come in relays. There's no possible way they could fit into her home, even a quarter of them at a time. Yet Pheba and Mama Monique and her colleagues, bravely go on. No, they go on with determination. They're feisty, struggling to help one more, and then one more, and then one more. I give thanks to God for the wonderful women of the church down through the ages and across the continents.